We've got a very special bunch of guests in the studio.
Yeah,
today.
We have. We've got David Woods and Atlanta Peabody, who are coming to talk to us here about the Awkward Giraffes Festival of Critical Comedy, which is on next weekend. So, Atlanta, you can kick off. You've been involved.
Good morning.
Sophia's here as well.
Yes, I'm here too. We've got a lot of microphones available here and we've got a whole team just been listening to some amazing music. Yeah, and Atlanta is normally interviewing people, so it's a joy to be actually interviewed. Turning the tables.
Okay, so what inspired the Awkward Giraffes Festival of Critical Comedy?
Well, I guess the whole thing was more or less instigated by Jeremy Dixon, and the whole notion of the awkward giraffe was about comedy that sticks its neck out like an awkward giraffe, right? And Eurydice Dixon was into thinky comedy, critical comedy, so it's trying to continue that legacy, and so hopefully pushing the boundaries of just not just some kind of crass, lowest common denominator kind of comedy, but broadening it a little and challenging audiences a little.
You mentioned Eurydice Dixon. I didn't realize the festival had a relationship with
Jeremy is Eurydice's dad. And Jeremy didn't necessarily see himself as an event organizer, and yet this is the third year of the Festival of Critical Comedy.
What a great legacy.
Yeah. And David Woods was also part of the team last year presenting. Well, David's a fully qualified comedian, right? A highly qualified.
And probably the most qualified comedian in the world.
What are the KPIs for that?
The KPIs, I don't think you can go beyond a doctorate. And that's what I have. I have a comedy PhD.
Wow.
Supervised by the first comedy doctor, Oliver Double, at the University of Kent in Canterbury in England.
Did it make you funnier?
Well, I don't...
Or more boring.
exactly. comedies like dissecting a frog. That question's a good one. At the time I was writing, I did feel very boring and unsurprising. But... looking at the intricacies and the sort of mechanics of comedy is quite an interesting exercise, I think, for anyone to do.
I loved your seminar last year, which was all about how to be funny.
That's right.
So
that
is there a formula?
Explained in great depth about it.
Well, no, there are many formulas, and you know, as with any kind of practice, there's a broad sort of range of types and styles. For example, tragedy plus time equals humor.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a particular brand of humor.
I do. Yeah.
My
practice as a performer, as a theater artist, mostly took me into the comedy ranks, but from a sort of narrative, character-driven world with my double act partner Jonathan Haynes. In a company called Ridiculousmas, which we've run now for 35 years, and it came out of sort of naturalistic drama that went badly wrong.
It's a little bit like the visualizations in Tintin.
Yeah, well, a lot of that goes badly wrong, doesn't it? So I've got my own particular shtick, but the work I was doing was looking at the major groups of humor theory about the mechanics of humor.
Because it's not just about what you do, it's about how the audience perceives it, right?
Yeah.
It's about cognitive processing as well and the perception of incongruity.
That's right.
And I believe, David, that you've been known to give soft tomatoes to audiences. Will that be happening this year?
well,
gauge their response.
Just to double check, did you say soft tomatoes?
Yeah. I said tomatoes.
She's trying to bag
me. You say tomato. Yeah. I say tomato.
Sorry, I mean soft tomato.
I say potato. Let's not call it off now.
I have been bagged on community radio in Melbourne several times, and here we go again. Yes.
But there are no tomatoes in the studio, so it's okay.
This time, what Atlanta is referring to is an early comedy club venture that I did with Dr. Jonathan Haynes. And it was called the Tomato Club. and it was run above a couscous restaurant in Kentish Town, London, and the audience were indeed issued trays of soft tomatoes, or at least as soft as we could get.
So they could throw them at you?
And they could throw them at us, yeah. And we had
I guess the joy of that is being near the restaurant, you
not being
access
the cleaner.
To compost, right, so you can get rid of them afterwards.
We had tomato seeds dripping down the walls. We were honoured with visits from people like Jerry Sadovitz, which was, an interesting time in alternative comedy, before the sort of cancellation era, I guess. He was operating in that sort of provocative space where you weren't really sure whether you should be laughing with, against, because, or despite, what was going on.
Is this what's going to happen next weekend then?
No. Atlanta's just doing her digging.
Because I was going to ask you.
Well,
what's going to ask
no,
you?
So,
if someone's throwing tomatoes at you, do you get funnier?
Well, the idea is to be funny to survive.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I've been set on fire when I've been performing, by angry audiences.
Oh, my God.
I've been threatened with violence.
Wow. Really sticking your neck out,
I've never actually
right?
been punched by someone. I think Jerry Sadovitz was punched, talking of him, at the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival, when he said something like, moose fuckers, and the Canadian couldn't take it. Yeah, so,
is there a right way to take that?
Yeah.
Well, clearly there was the intention, really, if you think, like, how do you define comedy? It's something people laugh at, mm-hmm. But people laugh for many different reasons, and certainly last year we were exploring that in quite a technical way with that show, How to Be
That's
Funny.
That's right. And also, as it's critical comedy, it's not just to create laughter, maybe not just that belly laughing out loud, but also making people think, hoping to provoke discussion.
But you should.
And they might have that internal debate within themselves, David, like you're talking about. They're not quite sure how to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does make them think.
I mean, what about you, Sophia? What do you think?
Well, I've always enjoyed the festival, and I feel like we can have a wide range of things happening there. Sometimes there are new performers coming out, and Jeremy, in the first year, it was just like open slather. It wasn't exactly curated, and so it was just whoever put up their hand, and it's become a little more
like an open
curated,
mic.
I guess so, a bit like that. Yeah, a little like that. But
you
also
learn, don't you?
Yeah, excuse me, Atlanta, I'm talking.
Oh, yes.
Atlanta always keeps butting in. But this year, and also there has traditionally been a comedy debate, but this year they're going to do a quiz show instead. I think there's still going to be some kind of audience participation with that as well. And if you're wondering what Atlanta Peabody's doing there, I think she's going to be I'm going to be doing like Vox Pop, interviewing people and going around and then writing reviews later
she's
on.
She's good. She's
Oh,
really
and you,
good, yeah.
you might actually throw some our way. So that
Yeah, that's true.
Does anybody record it?
I don't know. I'll have my notebook there.
In the red leaf tablets of their heart, yes.
And doing some sketches.
Well, I always thought that, they do say that culture underpins politics and having a good belly laugh has always been the instrument of those dispossessed attacking dictators. So it's a perfect vehicle.
Weaponizing comedy like that, it's an interesting sort of strand of the whole. I thought actually that's maybe what we'd be talking about most of all today is like what are you using your humor for rather than the sort of mechanics of who's doing this act or that act or whatever. But, you think about what does the Melbourne Comedy Festival do? You go to an act there and you kind of come out having laughed maybe quite a lot. And sort of like exercised your diaphragm somewhat and maybe your cheeks and tears and so on.
Yeah, which is, but that's not to be sneered at. It's like singing in a choir,
dispels bad energy to someone.
Yeah, there's that kind of therapeutic version of it. And as you know, that you can do laughter yoga where you don't even have any comedy. You just do that exercise in order to achieve the sort of state of calm. Post laughter, but laughter is very different to humor and comedy, because we're talking about what is the impulse, but also what's the intention. And very often I would go to a comedy show and I'd come out completely oblivious as to what that was all about, And I didn't care. I'd just done the exercise of laughing.
Laughing. Laughing, laughing.
Actually, that's a quote from Dr. Richard Talbot, who has been in How to Be Funny with me, and he coined that phrase. So laughing, you know, we're thinking about what it is we're doing, which is, I think, the point of difference to some more run-of-the-mill comedy festival.
But it's quite obvious that because it goes Saturday and Sunday, so we're talking Saturday the 29th of November from 1 p.m. to
11 or so.
10 p.m. Yeah. Well, it said officially 10 p.m. Yeah. And so it's a good slice, good hefty slice.
Yeah, and then the Sunday.
And too. Then Sunday.
Yeah.
From 1 to 9, so that you can do the bump out, no doubt, and you'd be exhausted. It means that people can come in and out of this affair. That's right.
They can do, and there'll be slotted shows. What else there'll be, David, when you're talking about those issues that you're talking about not just laughing for laughter's sake, but also even what you're saying about the weaponizing of comedy, it's very interesting. But Joe Toscano, who's also been involved since the beginning, adjudicating the debate, and I guess at this venue of the Unitarian Church, there's this element of anarchism. Apparently,
it's a great space.
Yeah, that's right. There was the great anarchist split of 1967 or 77. And actually, if it's going to be a hot weekend, we're hoping to offer those anarchist splits as a refreshing treat to our audiences. But David, there is going to be Joe Toscana's argument table from 2 to 6 p.m.
You can go and have an argument.
You don't just have to laugh. You can flesh it out. You can thrash it out with Joe at this argument table. So
there's
an opportunity for one-on-one debate there.
Also, it's free.
Yes, but donations are most welcome. That's
Welcome.
And bookings, so we can get an idea of numbers.
Bookings, and also you can take a packed lunch.
Yeah, but I believe there's some catering.
There's a bar this year as well, and I know that because I'm the licensee holder and also the responsible service of alcohol.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's very
so there'll only be one pause in the service of refreshments, which is when I'm actually doing my show each day with Jonathan Haynes.
Okay, and the other thing is it's not just you. You're in company, aren't you? There's other people.
Greg Fleet's on the program.
Yeah, who's hilarious. I'll have to say, in real life, I mean, I've seen him many a time in the past as well as more recently, and he is very quick.
He is, and he's got a lot to offer just in the broader context of the life of a comedian and the things that can happen, things that can go wrong, the notion of a comedian's career, the ups and downs.
The cost of sacrificing yourself on the altar of audience mirth is writ large in Greg Fleet's blog.
And there's Sophie Prince with the apophenia. There's Pauline Sherlock. She's going to be part of the quiz show.
Doppelgangster.
Shirley Hawke, Doppelgangster with Kareth and Tobias.
Manderson Galvin. Yeah,
that's it. Look at that. We shared the saying of the name.
Performance artists.
We're in sync.
Very funny.
Liz Skitch, who's exploring the maelstrom of suburbia down the back of the couch with some comic poetry. So there's quite a range.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The work I'm doing this year is actually 10 classic psychology experiments performed on a clown. So we're revisiting the sort of canon of disturbing, unethical social psychology.
Yeah, like the electric.
Will you actually have a clown there that you're experimenting on?
Well, we're both, in a way, and John would deny this, but I think many people would label us as clowns.
So you're experimenting on each other?
Yes. Yes.
And live.
So yeah, live.
People need to go to this event. It's at the
Unitarian Peace Church.
Yeah, Grey Street.
110 Grey Street, East Melbourne.
Yeah.
You can't miss it. It's just behind the private consulting clinics where people are sort of hanging around.
Yeah,
and
trams go past, you know, just a parallel universe to that.
Yeah, you can get there easily. Sort of think patients could pop in for a bit of extra therapy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as we said, it's on the 29th and the 30th and at 1 p.m. on Saturday to 10 and or 11 and Sunday the 30th from 1 to 9. So I can do the bump out. Thanks very much for coming in, you three.
Pleasure. Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks very much.